guess we could start now. Good evening. I'd like to very much welcome the villages, the people from the villages of Koyuk, Shaktulik, Stebbins, and St. Michael, who made the effort to come down here and talk before the Justice Berger and the Commissioner. Just to give you a real brief history, in 1983 at Frobisher Bay, the Inupiat Circumpolar Conference established what is now called the Alaska Native Review Commissioner and appointed the Honorable Justice Berger from Canada to commission the commission. Okay, and then in addition to establishing the Alaska Native Review Commission, the World Indigenous People Council also is supporting the Alaska Native Review Commission. The Indigenous People Council is composed of people from South and North America. So this, what we're saying here tonight, will reflect on not only the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, but it would also reflect on the claims or native claims throughout the world, specifically South America, North America, peoples in Canada, the Eskimo people in Greenland, and of course all the Eskimo people and the native people here in Alaska. So it is a very, very important time in our history, I believe, with what's going on right now. We've been asked that, for those of you who can't see over on that section because of the pillars here, if you can, you could move over on this section and I think you'll have a better view. And then when you do come down here, this is the area to sit in and go ahead and talk. For those of you who want to talk in Eskimo or Inupiat, we could maybe have Lawrence, would you be willing to translate into English? Okay. Well, from each village, perhaps, if you could provide a translator and find one. For those of you who want to talk in Eskimo, and then we can find somebody who could translate it in English would be probably the easiest way. Again, I'd like to very much thank the people of Unalakleet and Shaktulik and Koyuk, St. Michael's and Stebbins for attending. If there's any questions? If not, I'd like to introduce Thomas Berger.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to be here and pleased that on a Friday night so many of you were able to come. Maybe I could just introduce some of the people traveling with me. Mary Miller, who's seated by the pillar here, many of you know. She is in charge of tribal affairs for Kerwarik Incorporated, and Mary has been helping the commission to organize meetings in the Bering Straits region. And seated beside Mary Miller is Mary Kenswick, who works with our commission, and she is from Fairbanks. Over here are two reporters from the radio station in Nome, Laura Karumpas, and believe it or not, Michael Jackson. The guy with the headphones works for me. His name is Jim Sykes. And the reason he's here is that everything you say, we want it taken down on tape so there will be a permanent record of what you have said here tonight. And we're carrying on the meetings tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So what else is said tomorrow as well? Because in carrying out this commission for the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People, I'm going all over Alaska to every region. I have been traveling since the beginning of the year, and I have been to 37 villages and towns, and over 750 people have spoken at these meetings, and I will be continuing with these meetings until early in the new year, and then I will be writing a report And the report will be based on what you tell me. That is, I'm here to find out what you, the Alaska Native people, and other non-Native Alaskans who are concerned, think about the land claim settlement of 1971. How has it worked out? Congress passed a law, passed the land claim settlement back in 1971. Under that law, the corporations, the Native corporations, were established. The 44 million acres of land was transferred to the corporations. $962.5 million was turned over to the corporations. Well, how has it all worked out? This is 13 years later, 1984. I want to know from you, how did it all work out? Was it good? Was it bad? What were the good points? What were the bad points? What do you think of it all? It's your settlement. Congress enacted it for you. What do you make of it all now? We've been traveling, as I say, since the beginning of the year, and heard from a lot of people. They've told us how the corporations have worked out in their region, what benefits they've received. They've been frank to tell us about the flaws in ANCSA, in the land claim settlement, as they see them. And of course, they're all concerned about 1991. Congress provided that after 1991, the shares in the corporations could be sold. And if the shares are sold, if a majority of shares in any corporation are sold, then those corporations will fall into the hands of the people that buy the shares. And since Native ancestral lands are held by the corporations, if the corporations are taken over after 1991 by outsiders, then those outsiders will own the Native land as well. Congress also provided that in the years after 1991, the state, if it decided to impose a property tax, could impose a property tax on the lands held by the Native corporations and require them to pay taxes on those lands, even if the lands are only used for subsistence. All of that can happen in the years following 1991. Wherever we've gone, people have been concerned about the fact that the children born since 1971 are not entitled to be enrolled as shareholders. They have to wait for their parents to die to obtain shares. They have no right to be enrolled as shareholders at birth, and people have spoken about that. Then there are the relations between the corporations. Many places we've been, people have wanted to talk about the division of ownership of resources between the regional corporations and the village corporations. The village corporations own the surface resources, but the regional corporations own the subsurface resources beneath the village lands. Is that a good thing? Has it worked out? Is it a bad thing? Has it not worked out? These are the kinds of things I'd like to hear from you about. I'd also like you to tell me what you think about the way in which the land claim settlement has worked out so far as subsistence is concerned. ANCSA abolished Native hunting and fishing rights based on Aboriginal title, that is, Aboriginal rights of hunting and fishing were extinguished by ANCSA. Of course, Native people continue to have their rights under federal and state law to subsistence, but I'd like to know how it has all worked out given that change of regime. And then, too, there's the question of sovereignty or self-government, whatever you want to call it, self-determination. What are your views on that? Because it may be that in the future, the question of guaranteeing that Native lands remain in the possession of Native people, that Native people hold on to their lands, will require that they be transferred from the corporations to some other entity. People have said, how can we protect our lands? And they're talking about a lot of different ideas. Some have said, well, let's amend ANCSA so we can't sell our shares. Then the shares will continue to be held by Native people, and the control of the corporations will never fall into the hands of outsiders. Others have said, well, the corporations are fine, but even if the only shareholders are Native people, if the corporations go bankrupt, then we will lose our land, even though we're the only shareholders. So they've said, well, let's transfer our land to the IRA governments. The IRAs can't be taken over by outsiders. Their lands are normally immune from taxation, and the children are members of the IRAs at birth and cease to be when they die. Others have said, and I've urged people to think of other solutions, maybe it is possible, as has been done in other countries, to have the lands held in trust by the elders. That is what they are doing in Australia now. Maybe it is possible to have all the Native people hold their own lands in trust for themselves. That is what the Inuvialuit, the Eskimos in the Western Arctic region of Canada, have arranged to do just this summer. Well, there are a lot of things floating around. I'm sorry to go on at such length, but I want to hear your views on all of these questions, because I'm going to write a report about this. I'm going to indicate what the impact of the land claim settlement has been, what the good points are, what the bad points are, what you think about it. And my report will be a mirror of what you have told me at these meetings. And based on what you tell me, I'll make my recommendations about this settlement and what ought to be done to make sure that the things that are important to you are preserved in the settlement. My report will be made public next summer, and it will be handed in to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People, and they will submit it to the United Nations. But in addition, I will be sending it to you, to everybody who testifies. I will be sending a copy of my report so that you can use it in planning for your own future. I'm not here representing the government of the United States. I'm not here representing the government of Alaska. I'm here representing two international Native peoples organizations who want to know how the Alaskan land claim settlement has worked out. My report will be one that I hope you can use, and in it as well I will be giving advice to Native people in other countries about your settlement, the things that have turned out well and the things that have turned out badly, so that they can take advantage of the lessons that you have learned. Well, thank you, and I'm glad that there are people not only from Unalakleet, but from Koyuk and Shaktulik and St. Michael and Stebbins. When you come forward to speak, I hope you will feel free to come forward and to speak at the microphone where Weaver Ivanoff is seated, so that everything you say can be taken down on tape and transcribed. And the record of tonight's proceedings, the transcript of what you have said, will be sent, when it's ready, to the IRA, the Village Corporation, and the city. So we're open for business, and I guess you're the first customer.
You gotta come in on camera. I'm up behind. My head all wet. Who has the authority about the Land Claim Settlement Act? I would like to know the authority. Who has the authority to conduct our
Okay, this was started by the Eskimos of our people. Andrew, if you could go sit down right now, we'll call back you later. Before we get started, I'd like to have Martha Nanauk give the invocation.
tonight for this gathering from different villages, and thank you for everyone that came from different villages. Special blessing on them and to our speaker that came, the one that came, and others with him. Agayun Kuyana, Kuyana, give us wisdom and understanding, guide us for the benefit of our natives here, and for our children, and for our grandchildren. We need thee this hour. Bless each speaker, Lord Jesus. Ikayo umay tiyut ilo tiksanun nunapta ikayo tiksanun sule agayo tipta panik dosat ikayo umay tiyut ilo sikun in harmony in peace sule agayo nalungilap tiyut. You know our needs, our special needs, individual needs. Sule taima, we all have children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, relatives, brothers and sisters. And this Yunkleet, when I was a young girl, it was just like one big family. Suli agayun taimanattu angalasimaitin this meeting. We praise and thank you and bless all the speaker in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I haven't got my all my notes straightened out at the moment. I was going to finish them up tonight, but I might as well get it over with. First of all, I'd like to welcome the opportunity to speak to the Alaska Native Review Commission and thank Judge Berger for coming into Unalakleet. There are probably pretty much what I'm going to say tonight is just what the Judge Berger was telling us about Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, how it affects the IRAs, how it affects their self-governing powers, and also in the way of subsistence. The IRA, well, before the IRA Council was founded, we lived our traditional way of life and we had our own way of governing ourselves even before the IRA was formed. And this was recognized by our people up and down the coast and recognized by our people even inland. Then in June 30th, 1939, the IRA Council was formed and recognized by the federal government. I think Aaron Punyuk at that time was chairman. Once the federal government recognized the IRA Council as a Native governing body, the BIA had the responsibility of holding lands in trust for us, holding Native affairs in trust for us, etc. Since the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act passed, I think the trust responsibility of the Bureau of Indian Affairs is questionable now. It's no longer there. Also, just to give you an idea, we lived here on this piece of land here for thousands and thousands of years, and we used it on our own, but it was not owned by an individual. It was owned by everyone. To get an airport in here, we had to lease 65 acres of land to what is now the Civil Aeronautics Administration. We leased that beginning in 1953. At that time, it was 258 acres. In 1966, the lease with the CAA, or the Federal Aviation Agency for airport use, was terminated, and we then leased that 65 acres to the State Department of Transportation for use of airport use navigational purposes. Okay, in 1971, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act came about, was enacted. And now we've got a problem with that 65-acre lease. The state is saying they own the land.
according to 14C4, which the corporation has to convey land for airport purposes. In addition to that, the state DOT owns lands up on a hillside where we berry picked all our years, you know. Kids been growing up, our grandfather, grandchildren have picked berries on these hills years and years. And now the state owns it on a quitclaim deed. We haven't had a chance to, you know, we put quitclaim deeds all over, and then we'd have portions of land. Those portions of land are gone from us. Just like right now, from Swarovski. Our Land Claim Settlement Act extends only to Swarovski. Those portions of land beyond Swarovski are gone to us. They're to the BLM now. Now the BIA and the state DOT are both claiming that we have no legal rights to that 65 acres of land that we originally leased to the CAA, the FAA, or Federal Aviation Agency, and the state DOT. And right now we have to fight them in court to get that back. I have trouble reading my own writing, so you'll have to bear with me. Okay, the most important thing that was not recognized by the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, I believe, was our traditional boundaries. Those are established and those are recognized by people between neighboring villages. We have traditional boundaries that are recognized between Unalakleet and Shektulik. Traditional boundaries recognized between Shektulik and Koyuk. And we have a traditional boundary that is recognized between the Eskimos of Unalakleet and the Indians of Kaltag, 75 miles upriver from where we live. And this traditional boundary, which everyone recognized that we lived with all our years of hunting and fishing, the peoples of the different places recognize those, but it's not being recognized by the federal government, and it's not being recognized by the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, but which we have lived and named places all our lives and all our years. And this is gone with the act. The valleys and the rivers we fished in, places we've named, are markers and rocks we piled up there at Black Point. You know, that's gone from us. You could still see those marks up there today, those rocks piled up there. That don't belong to us anymore. Yet our people have lived there and used that land for years. Our people have taken game from there, they've taken fish from there, and they've died on there. It's years past, and I've got this from the elders a long time ago, and I've heard stories and stories about it. Was in times past, when you hunted and you went into the Indian country, they had the right to kill you because you passed your traditional boundary. And it was the other way around here too. And I've had several elders tell me those stories of what actually happened when somebody crossed the line. And you know, those are real things. And I wish it would be that way. It would have, if a Native Claim Settlement Act had recognized traditional boundaries, that would be an act that was fair. Okay, because of the structure of the Claim Settlement Act, the people, the Native people, are issued stocks and shares. You have 100 shares and you're a stockholder. Because of that structure, you stand to lose control, you stand to lose. You stand to lose the control of your stock. Once your stock is gone, like the judge was saying, then you lose control of your lands. Once your lands are gone, you'll never get them back. There are We have, just a minute, Fred. We have what we... No, I think we need more room. But, okay, there are other corporations in this world who are much more powerful and have much more money than we do. We have the Bering Straits Native Corporation, which is our regional corporation. And within the region, we have also the village corporations. But we all know that once your stocks is gone, like I was saying, other corporations with much more power and much more money can come in here and easily buy your stock up because they have the money. And our Native people are not rich. You'll need money all the time, and there's already talk right now of people wanting to sell their stock. Once your stock is gone, your rights to the land are gone, and you have nothing left. And that's the structure of Anska that bothers me a lot. Okay, as far as going back to the traditional boundaries, as long as care was taken of the resource, of the fish we took, of the game we took, we made sure that they came back, that there was always something left to take care of that was ours. And we've done it for years and years, and that's how we've survived. The elders have always taught me when you go out beaver hunting and you're hunting at a beaver house, you shoot only what you can take. There might be four or five beaver living in that house, you take only two and leave the rest so that they can make more families and come back and feed your children. And this is how it's been done for years and years, and that's how we've survived. You take only what you got and you share. The other thing about the Claims Act that's bothersome to me is that we've shared all our lives. We've had a feeling of unity under our traditional council, under our Native way of life. We've shared it. That sharing made us a unified body. But now we have the stocks and the shareholders, and we have individual pieces of land, and we have money, and that has made villages split up. It's made people in villages who lived together all these years, sharing and getting along, split up. And the other thing was, another division of the villages was the forming of city councils. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act mandated that city councils be formed. Now you got two councils trying to govern in one area, in one village. It can't work out that way. One is going to swallow up the other one eventually. Right now, when you look at the structure, the cities have a lot of money because of the oil revenue is going on. So they got a little bit more power, but that doesn't take away our power in regards to services to provide, etc. But that doesn't take our power away as the IRA council. We still have that inherent right. We just got to exercise it a little more. So those divisions broke the unity, how I feel, of our Native people, which we have to return. We have to get back. And it was caused, I believe, by the Native Claims Settlement Act. There are benefits that were brought back by the Act, you know, the economic benefits, but that's right now. People are enjoying what's happening right now with the money they have. But I think if you look in 10, 20, 30 years from now, with the more powerful corporations in the world, and a lot of smart people out there, and there's a lot of people out there compared to us Eskimos here in Alaska, they're going to take over. There's no question about it. If things stay the way they are, if we remain a corporation, if we continue to have stocks and bonds. The judge has also mentioned after 1971, our children don't have any more benefits, and that's true. They have no legal right under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. No benefits at all. They don't have any rights to the ancestral lands. So once we all die off, you know, the original people who had stocks, where do they go? They're divided up. 20, 30 years, all these stocks that you've got, even if you don't sell them, will be all divided up. It's designed, I don't know about being designed, but that's the real thing that bothers me. Let me get back. I think, am I taking too much time?
No, I've got lots of time.
Good. Okay, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, again, has not really strengthened ourselves. It doesn't strengthen our ability to self-govern ourselves. We have that mechanism. That's when our traditional fathers were governing themselves. We have that mechanism with the IRA Council formed in 1939. Okay, we're establishing our traditional boundaries right now. The way I think a fair settlement would be is that if the federal government recognized our traditional boundaries between the tribes, by tribes I mean between Shektolik and Unalakleet, the traditional boundary between St. Michael and Unalakleet, and our traditional boundary between Kaltag and Unalakleet, and then have the IRA government, as the government of the people, established that we have that jurisdiction, but if it was designed so that the IRA Council was involved in the Claims Act rather than forming a corporation and getting these portions of land, then we'd be able to govern that portion of our jurisdictional boundaries without any problem right now. We'd be doing it. We'd be able to establish our own laws and regulations on fish and game. We'd establish our own laws on who could come in there and mine, who could come in there and settle. All these things that concerns us right now, those could be done by the IRA Council if it was established with a traditional boundary aspect. There's no question in my mind on that. And we'd still have the best part about that is that we'd still have our children benefiting from it. Our children would still be recognized by our people, as they always are, of being recipients of the Claims Act. A Claims Act should not weaken the governing powers of people, but it should strengthen our ability to govern ourselves, to live on our land and die on our land as we have owned for thousands of years. The United States says the United States is a free country. We all know that. And the Constitution of the United States provides us that freedom. The Eskimos and the Inuit have always been a free people, free to use the land, free to hunt, free to fish. There's no hunting signs up there. There's no trespassing, no trespassing signs around. There's no private property signs around to prevent us from doing this. We've done it in our traditional way of sharing the land. The land is everyone's up there, you know. Respect why it was like that before and why it worked so much was because of the respect of our people for the land. An open door and a hot cup of coffee or tea or a cup of tea was always welcome to the passerby or a traveling stranger, although he's traveling on the land. However, there's the Marine Mammal Act coming on with the revision that the state wants to take over. When this passes, there'll be further restriction on how much seal you can get, how much walrus you can get, how much ugruk you can catch in a year. You're going to have bag limits, you're going to have season limits. And there's other acts, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the state regulates right now how much moose you can get, when you can get it, and also your geese and ducks. Other laws restrict us. So you can see, what I'm trying to say is that we're losing our freedom very slowly. That freedom that we once enjoyed, that our forefathers have enjoyed even more, we're losing. I think my grandpa was probably more free than I am right now. What I'm afraid of is
When my children grow up, they won't be as free as I am. If the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act provided to our Native government the land and the sea we all recognize as the traditional boundaries, without stock and without shareholders, I wouldn't have the fears that I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ivanoff. Thank you very much. Well, yes, sir.
Can I talk about Norton Bay here? Huh? Stephen, St. Michael, here, Elam, and Galvin, Coyle, our Norton Bay, just like our warehouse. Old people long ago, they're good hunters. I follow them.
Tell them your name.
Huh?
You can tell them your name.
My name is John Alline, and I raised here and from Norton Bay, from my parents from Norton Bay. When I got married, I live here now. So our bay here, we tried to protect our hunting ground last spring, much as we can. That's good. But Norton Bay, if we protect them, those company, oil company, they're strong. They're white people, they're just crazy for money and oil. They're going to get money. We know that. And I tell about the Ugruk, that oil is no good for seal and Ugruk. When what they call it English now, Yukon River, when the break up, because there's some crazy suit when the steamboat running, the old people, they notice we'll have no more Ugruk in Norton Bay. Because dirty ice there come out from Yukon River. Yukon is a big river. Those Yukon ice, they're going to Norton Bay here, from Galvin they go out. I know. I've been out, follow those hunters. And I've been schooled how to hunt Ugruk. And I'm thankful. I'll say thank God there's Zacchaeus, the man, the good man. He was a good man. He tried to take care of the village, take care of his relative, and teach them, and I was one of them. And now, if we work together, try to stop that oil drill, if we had oil here, we'll have no more, just like no more warehouse. Now, you folks, I never see dry meat, Ugruk, now. Long ago, they make glass, springtime, and put it in oil. We lose that now already. So we can't go without sea law. Natives can't go without sea law. That's our best food in Native. They go a long ways, a little sea log. We gotta have that. That's why I like to see it protect the Norton Bay from drillers. But if we ask government to protect our northern bay, it would protect us. It would help us. Government would help us if they protect our northern bay. Our land, all, when I go hunting, certain animals, I pass quail, I pass seven certain animals to hunt. That's why native hunt long ago. Certain animals, they go different places. Northern Bay is good whaling this time of year. It's good to have a muktuk, old people. They got lots of them. They got each family, they got net. Now, they hardly now. Even that if we lose native food, sea law, what are we going to do? Most of you can't special hunter. Workers that live is going to live good where we work for wages. Those hunting just like me, they'll have a hard time if we got oil in the Northern Bay here. We'll have no more seal, no more okra. I tell you that truth, that oil is no good. Ugruk is clean. They can't come up when the human tracks. That's why he's clean. Can't come up on sleep when the human tracks. He'll never do that. Spotted seal do that, but ugruk, they'll never sleep on top of the ice because they're clean animals and they're good animals. That's why I like to ask you people to try to protect our Northern Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Honorable Judge Berger, everyone, my name is Esther Lesenkopf, and I'd like to make or read my testimony, if I may. Ms. Representative, that's what the radio announced yesterday when they aired the time and place for our meeting with Honorable Judge Berger. I have listened to different people from different areas of the state speak. We didn't know anything they claim. How fortunate we are. Our story differs from theirs. You see, we had a man who knew in 1959 that Angska would become reality. His name was Frank Degnan. He knew, he told, and he fought until it became reality in 1971. So when anyone says we were misrepresented, they forget to remember that it's only because we did not listen. We did not take time out to help this man and others who represented us. Their dream and my dream is that our children and their children's children perpetuate the traditions and lifestyle of our native culture. What better way is there than through our living land? If Angska is not amended so that our lands may not be sold or traded or bartered, then there is no guarantee that our way of life will survive. Thank you.
Thank you.